This morning into the book of Jonah. As you're turning, we would like to welcome our visitors this morning. Good to have you with us, and we hope you've been made to feel at home here at Charlestown Baptist Church, and we just want you to feel free to worship. Our altar is always open. There's always somebody ready to pray with you if you want somebody to pray with you, and we just encourage you to participate and be afraid to say amen or just to raise your hand or do whatever the Lord lays on your heart. But we just want to encourage you in the Word of God this morning. Thank everyone for your prayers for us this week. We've been under the weather, had the bug Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Started feeling some better and are just thankful that we're past that. And hopefully, as a fellow said one time, you know, the New Year's been pre-disastered. All right? Maybe that's all we're going to deal with for the year. Got it out of the way right from the get-go. So we're hoping so. Amen. But if you found the book of Jonah, we'd invite you to stand with us this morning if you're able, as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil which he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us this morning? Well, it's 2019, the first Sunday in 2019, and God has a plan for you. Amen? You believe that this morning? God has a plan for you. And it's a great plan, but the problem is we always balk when we don't understand everything about the plan. But God's plan still stands nonetheless. And, you know, Jonah is a great illustration. He's a great picture. It's a great story. Most kids remember Jonah in Sunday school. If they don't remember anything else, they remember Jonah in the belly of the fish. Amen? That they remember Jonah he is in need, and Jonah having a problem, and Jonah dealing with his problem his own way. And God dealing with Jonah. Calvin, take a walk. And as Jonah was called of God and Jonah was dealing with what God had in turn for him and had decided for him, Jonah found out that he needed to get his life right. God's got a plan for you. But the problem is, are you going to follow God's plan? Are you going to do what it is that God would have you to do? God has something for you in 2019 that is specifically for you. A work, a calling, a ministry, a something that he needs for you to do and he wants you to do. And we want you to see that. Go back into chapter 1 if you flip your Bible back. Jonah's just a real small book. The whole book's less than some chapters in the whole Word of God. The Bible says over in Jonah chapter 1 says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God had a plan for Jonah's life, but Jonah chose not to follow God's plan. Jonah chose to rebuke and reject and rebut God's plan for his life. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh because there was a need there. God don't actually need us, but God uses us. Amen. You can be assured of that. God is almighty. The Bible tells us he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. That means he can do all things. He knows all things. And he's everywhere in the midst of all things. Amen. Even in hell, the psalmist said, God is there. God is aware of every bit of suffering that's going on in hell. He's completely aware of it. There's no place in this universe that God is not. Amen. And there's nothing in this world, there's nothing in this universe that God can't do. And we got to remember that when God calls us and God ordains us for something, he's already got everything figured out. He doesn't want us to do what he hasn't already made preparations for. He doesn't already tell us what we want to know and what we're wanting to hear beforehand, but he lets us know what we need to know as we need to know it. And what he told Jonah was, I want you to go to Nineveh because the cry of that evil place has come up before me. And you know what? God has a plan for you. God has a plan in 2019 and not just in 2019. Let me tell you this, God has a plan for you every morning when you wake up. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand about God's plan. Well, God's plan for you is a right relationship with him. That's his primary goal. You know, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a story of restoration. Do you understand that? Do you realize that? It's the whole story of restoration, of a relationship that has been broken, a relationship that has been hurt, a relationship that was hindered, and God's plan for restoring that relationship. God loves you and he loves me. And he wants nothing more than for us to have a right relationship with him. He wants us to be able to walk in fellowship with him without the sin that had separated us from him being a problem. So God put a plan into place. God put the plan that we call the plan of salvation in his word for us to see. He put the plan of redemption in his word from the very fall of man. All the way back in Genesis chapter number 3, when man fell, God already told him that his plan would be in place. For as the serpent had brought sin into the world, he would have a seed of man that would bruise the head of the serpent. Amen? See, God had already instituted his restoration plan. God had already started doing what only God can do and what God wanted to do and what God wants to do in your life is bring restoration. He wants a right relationship with each and every one of us. How do I find this right relationship? By looking to God's word, seeing what it is that he wants to do. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. Amen. That's his plan, is to make sure that he provides a mean and provides a way that none should perish, that nobody should have to die and split hell wide open. Nobody should have to die in their sin and trespasses and pass from this life into the afterlife to the eternal life with sin in their life and sin keeping them from fellowship in the presence of God. The Bible tells us as we read that we find that we all stand in need. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tells us that God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has a plan. He wants to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has a plan, folks. It's not man's plan, it's God's plan. It's not man's way, it's God's way. See, He wants to have a right relationship. Some that have never been saved, never realized that God loved them enough, that He provided a means for that relationship to be made whole, for that hurt to be healed through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son. God has a plan for your life in 2019, and if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He wants you to know that you can know. He wants you to know that He loves you. He wants you to know that you can be saved. He has a plan for you. Are you going to accept it? And then God's people come and they profess Christ as their Savior. And He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for you. And He has a new purpose for you every morning, every day, every new year. But will you accept God's plan for your life? Will you accept what God wants to do? He calls us unto salvation, and we have some of us surrendered our hearts and lives to Jesus. We've asked Him into our heart, and we've made Him our Savior. We've come from the lowest pits and the lowest dregs of society in our sins and our trespasses, and we've been made to be heirs and joint heirs with Jesus in Christ, and now He wants us to go forward and He wants us to do something, but are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? God called, man, if you missed the winter whiteout the other night, you missed a blessing up at Mercy. Brother Kenny Baldwin, man, he preached about Jeremiah going down to the potter's house. He said, yo, God told Jeremiah, go to the potter's house, and Jeremiah went. You know, that's as simple as God's plan. He tells you where to go, and all you got to do is get there. He told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah decided to go 2,000 miles the other way. God has a plan, but we gotta be willing to follow God's plan. God has a plan, but we gotta be willing to submit ourselves and surrender our lives unto God's plan. God has a plan, but are we gonna follow it? And then, as soon as God told Jonah what He wanted him to do, Jonah did just the opposite. He went the other way. But Jonah rose, verse 3, chapter 1, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. By the way, just so you understand, Jonah was going just as far as he thought he could get. At that time, Tarshish was at the farmost reaches of the known world. They thought if you went past the pillars of Gibraltar that you would fall off the edge of the world. And Tarshish was right there. He was getting as far as he could. He was going all the way to the edge of the world. All the way to the ends of the world. And he was going to get away from where God wanted him to be. He was going to get away from what God wanted him to do. But it didn't work. It didn't work. You see, you can't go anywhere where God's not. And if God wants you here and you go there, you're still not going to get away from God. Amen. If God wants you to do a work, the best place to be is where God wants you to be working and doing what God wants you to do, because it don't matter where you go and what you're doing anywhere else, it's not going to be what God wants you to do. Amen. So you might as well just get over yourself and decide that God's got a plan for me, and I'm going to submit myself unto God's plan. I'm going to let God have His will and have His way in my life. You know what's hurting our churches today? It's not God. It's people that's not willing to let God have His way in their lives. Amen. You know what's hurting the testimony of the church in America today? It's not God. It's not the Spirit of God moving in churches and saving souls and changing lives and transforming those who are in the miry clay and in the horrible pit and bringing them up and setting their feet on the rock. That's not the problem. It's the God's people not letting God have His will and His way in their lives, not being obedient, not being faithful, not being true to what God has called them to do. Amen. You know what's wrong in Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church? You got a pastor that sometimes gets his head strong and he wants to do things his way and he don't let God have His way. You know what's wrong with Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church? We got pews filled with people that sometimes get headstrong and they want to do things their way instead of letting God have His way and do things God's way according to God's plan. Amen. You know what's wrong in our churches today? We don't want to hear the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen. You want to be free to do what God wants you to do, you got to be submitted unto His will. You can't run the other way. When God says, I want you here, you need to be there. When God says, you need to be at church, you need to be at church. When God says, you need to witness, you need to witness. When God says, you need to go into the world and tell people about Jesus, you know where you should be? In the world telling people about Jesus. Amen. Everybody you run into, everybody you meet is a potential opportunity to tell about Jesus. Amen. They might tell you they know Jesus, and that's all well and good, but you can still tell them about Jesus. Amen. It's an opportunity. But Joseph, or Jonah, he chose to go the other way. When we choose not to follow God's plan, we put ourselves and others in jeopardy. We live in a country that's been blessed. We have more than anybody on the face of the earth. God has blessed America. I should have got a real loud amen right there. God has blessed America. Amen. God has blessed you. Amen. But we take what God has given us for granted. He's given us the opportunity to hear the preaching of the Word of God, to hear the truth of salvation, and yet we just spurn it. Amen. We put it off. We don't listen to it. We don't follow it. We put ourselves and our souls in jeopardy of hell's damnation. When we fail to allow Jesus to have reign and rule in our hearts and our lives, we put our families. Man, look at families today. Look around in your church. How many families do you see here? You know why? Because sin is having a heyday because we haven't allowed God to have His way in our lives. Amen. A nation that rejects God, a nation that has rejected God's plan of salvation, churches that won't preach about sin and the need of salvation, churches that don't preach about the hope of Jesus. And we just see the world rejecting Him and rejecting His plan of salvation. And we see the fruit. Not only are they putting themselves at jeopardy, they're putting others around them in jeopardy as well. We see Christians in churches where there's always, man, I'm glad we don't have that here. You see churches where there's always fussing and fighting. Christians, we was talking about that this morning. Man, you know, the Bible says over there in Jude that there was a bunch that crept in unawares, and they were the false teachers. They were the trouble with the church. You know who they were? The Bible says they were the murmurers. They were the complainers. Amen. That they were the ones that was never satisfied, always wanting to satisfy self instead of worrying about the church and worrying about everything else. We've got all this mess in our churches, and we wonder why our churches don't grow and why we don't see our churches changing, why our young people don't want to be a part. Who wants to be a part of a bunch of old people sitting around groaning, whining, moaning, and complaining all the time? Amen. How about we just change our attitude and get according, get our lives lined up with God's plan and start praising Him and worshiping Him and shouting the house down and praying the house down and just pleasing Him and everything. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Amen. Let's not let the world get a hold of our, let's not let the world get in way of God's plan in our church and in our lives. Let's honor Him. Let's not put our young people, let's not put our children and our families in jeopardy, because God has a plan it's a plan that will work for each of us if we'll just follow it. Everybody was in jeopardy because Jonah had chose to run away and to do opposite of what God wanted him to do. Look at verses 4 and 5 there in 1. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Everybody was in peril because of Jonah. How many people are in peril because you're not doing what God wants you to do today? Lost person, let me ask you this. Do you realize that your life is in peril without Jesus? Without Jesus, you're going to split hell wide open. And when you live your life without Jesus, all those that are around you see no hope of anything. And you put their lives in peril as well. Christian friend, are you right where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, how God wants you to do it? Because if not, not only are you placing yourself in peril, amen, you're putting others in peril around you as well. You're putting your children in peril. You're putting your families in peril. You're putting your church in peril. You're putting your community in peril. You're putting your nation in peril. Amen. And everybody on that ship was in danger. In verse 5, they started trying to do everything they could to save the ship. Everybody's working in their own strength and in their own men. They're throwing the wares out. They're throwing the goods out. They're doing everything they can to save the ship. Let me tell you something. You're not going to save yourself. The only salvation you're going to find is in Jesus. You're not going to save your family, Christian friend. The only way you're going to save your family is to draw them closer to Jesus and to get where Jesus wants you to be. Your church isn't going to do anything for anybody in and of itself. The only way anybody's going to get saved, the only way anybody's going to find help at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church is if Jesus does the saving, if Jesus does the healing, if Jesus does the moving, if Jesus does the direction, if Jesus is everything, then He'll do everything. Amen. Amen. But the only way He can be everything and do everything is if the church allows Him. He won't force Himself on you. Everybody's doing everything they can to, well, almost everybody. What's it say there in verse 4, the mariners, the ship's trying to sink. Verse 5, that they start throwing everything out. That they're doing everything they can to save the ship. Except who? Jonah. Where's Jonah at? He's down in the sides of the ship fast asleep. Let me tell you what, folks. I preached a message on this a couple years ago. I read through that and it just popped out at me. Satan's false sense of security. Amen? You know why Jonah's asleep? He thinks he's all right. You know why people won't get saved? The devil tells you you're all right. Everything's fine. Man, you're religious. You belong to a church. Well, you've been baptized. Well, you're a Catholic and you're a Methodist and you're a Baptist. Let me tell you what, hell's going to be filled up with Baptists. Amen. There's a lot of people who are Baptists, but their name's on the Baptist church roll. But their name's not on the Lord's roll book, the Lamb's book of life. See, Satan gives you that false sense of security. Man, I'm sitting in a church, everything's fine. I've got Christian friends, everything's fine. I'm surrounding myself with all these Christians, everything's fine. You're going to die and split hell wide open. Amen. Christians are sitting in churches and their children's lives are a nightmare. Their marriages and their relationships are a nightmare. And they're wondering why everything's going the way that it is. And they think everything's just fine. But you know what? It's not. They think because, well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon. I'm a faithful church member. Man, I'm the backbone of the church. I'm the one that's there every time the church doors is open, and everything should be just fine. Everything should be just hunky-dory. Well, you know what? It's not. And Satan will give you that false sense of security. Hey, we need to be on our knees pleading with Jesus to intervene. We need to be on our knees praising God for what He's done and what we know He's going to do. We need to get on our knees and get serious about the needs that we see around us and quit mollycoddling all the sin that's going on in this world and in our lives. And we need to get the sin out of our lives before we can get the sin out of our children's lives. Amen. Amen. We need to get the sin out of our lives before we can get the sin out of our church. We need to get the sin out of our lives before we get the sin out of our community. You see where it's going? See, God's got a plan. But Satan will tell you, you can go ahead and do it your way. And you can lay down and sleep, and everything's going to be just fine. Folks, it's not. Jonah was in peril, and he's asleep. Everybody around him is in peril, but he's asleep. Everything's going the way that Jonah thinks it should go. And he's oblivious to the very fact that the storm is raging about him. I got to tell y'all something. You're going to have to come back tonight to hear the rest of this message. I can see it right now. Amen. God just parked us here for a few minutes. Amen. God's got a plan for you in 2019. But his plan is being rejected. You rejected it in 2018. You rejected it in 2017. You rejected it in 2016. How about starting off a new year and getting yourself in line with where God wants you to be? Getting yourself in tune with God's plan and deciding to do what God wants you to do. Get yourself to the place where you're seeing things work out the way that God said they would there in Romans 8 and 27 and 28. You know what? You can run from God. You can try to hide from God. You can try to deal through the life and pretend like everything's all right with God, and it'll never be. Amen? It'll never be good. It'll never be all right. It'll never be right until you're doing it God's way. Amen. Man, let's just get in touch with God and let Him have His way. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it according to God's plan. You know what? I might finish this. I don't know. Depends on how. Amen. We can keep playing around, and we can think that everything's going to be fine. If you look down in verse number 7, when they casted lots, the lot fell upon Jonah. You know, sin catches up with us eventually. And sin always has a price to pay. In verse number 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Old saying says, sin will take you farther than you wanted to go. It'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And it would cost you more than you were willing to pay. And that is so true. That is so true. But we always want to apply that to the drunkard. Amen? We always want to apply that to the drug addict. We always want to apply that to the extreme fringes of society. But folks, look in your own life. Look in your own back door. You know, you don't have to be a drunkard to be a sinner. See, we want to equate big sin and a little sin. Don't we? Well, I'm not. As witness, me and Brother Jack witnessed to a guy one night. One afternoon, his wife was dying of cancer. She just got saved. And we tried to convince him to trust Christ as his Savior as well. He said, I don't need that. He said, I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a thief. And he started listing all the things that he wasn't. But he would never, never, never acknowledge the fact that he was a sinner lost and undone without Jesus. Folks, it's not just the big sins. It's the little sin. A little leavening leaveneth the whole lump. See, we only want to look at the big sins. The drunkenness and the druggedness and the thieves and the murderers. But let's forget about all them for a while. Let's talk about your sin. Your petty little sins that you overlook. Your petty little sins that are affecting your life. They're affecting your relationship with God. They're affecting, you know what the Lord told his people? He said, your sins have separated between you and your God. That's what he told his people there in Isaiah. Sent the prophet down to tell them what the problem was. Your sins have separated between you and your God. Amen. Now, I don't stand up here. I don't preach health, wealth, and prosperity. I preach the truth. I preach the gospel that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Amen. That we need help. And I don't know about you, but I need help every day. Amen. I don't know about you, but I didn't just sin yesterday and got over it. And when I got saved, some preachers will preach, once you get saved, you can't sin no more. I don't know where they come from, but praise God, I know me and I know I sin every day. Amen. We sing a song, the old man is dead. Well, we can crucify him, but I got news for you. That's the original zombie apocalypse. Amen. That old man gets up every day, and I've got to crucify him again. Why? Because it's hard to keep him where he belongs. It's hard to keep him under the blood. It's hard to keep him at the foot of the cross where he needs to be. But praise God, I know that's me, and that's where I need to be. Amen. Let's not talk about everybody else's sin now. Let's talk about yours. What are your petty little sins that you don't think nothing about? Your petty little sins that you haven't dealt with. Maybe there's somebody you're holding a grudge with. Amen. Maybe you're so tight. Folks tell you, I don't preach about money. I don't preach on tithing. I never preach on that. Maybe you're so tight that you just don't want to give to Jesus what's due him. Man, you squeeze that nickel so tight. Make a buffalo cry. You know, I know. Never mind. Amen. Maybe you're not doing what God tells you to do in giving. Maybe you use the excuse, I can't. I don't like it. I can't. I had a young boy come to me. I asked him, I said, man, can you find a spot for him over here? He's going to get furloughed. He's going to get laid off. And there's no place else for him to go. Do you got something? I said, what can he do? He said, nothing really. I said, send him over here and let him hang out. We'll see if he's willing to do something. We'll do something. They sent him over there. He was dumber than a box of rocks when it come to mechanics. And all he kept saying, I'm just dumb. I'm stupid. He'd been told all his life he's dumb. He's stupid. His mom got him addicted to drugs when he was just a teenager. His mother introduced him to drugs. His mother got him addicted to drugs. And his whole family is known in this area. And they just die off. They're dying off because of drugs. And he made the purpose in his own heart that he was going to get himself cleaned up. He said, you can get yourself cleaned up if you want to get cleaned up, but you got to make the decision. You got to be the one that cleans you up. Ain't nobody else going to do it for you. He got himself right, but he'd been told all his life he was dumb, he was stupid. And he kept saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. Any of you ever been bit by the I can't bug? God wants you to do something, I can't. God says, try to, I can't. God says, shout, you say, I can't. God says, praise me in the service, you say, I can't. Somebody's going to think I'm simple. Somebody's going to think I went off the deep edge. Somebody's going to think I told him, I said, quit telling me you can't. Can't, never could, do nothing. Amen. Can't will never get anything done. Can't will never accomplish a single deed in this world and in this life. You know why people don't do anything for the Lord? It's not because they can't, it's because they won't. Amen. If the Lord tells you to do it, you can do it. Amen. If the Lord tells you to stand against the giant, amen. Don't worry about that giant. The only one you got to be worried about is the Lord. Amen. But maybe God's told you to do something and you got the I can't bug. I can't, I can't, I can't. You know, we've all got our petty little sins that we're allowing to hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. Our petty little sins that are keeping us from being everything that God wants us to be. When God spoke to Jeremiah and said, go to the potter's house, Jeremiah got up and went to the potter's house. He didn't say why. He didn't say where. He didn't say when. God said go and he went. When God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, oh no, I can't. I won't. And I ain't. And now everybody's in jeopardy. Because I can't. Oh, we could go on down through here. I could pick out your petty little sin. I could go down there and I could pluck it out if I stayed here long enough. But all that matters is that you know it. And that you know the Lord knows it. And as long as you know it and you know the Lord knows it, you know it's hindering you of doing what God wants to do with you. God has plans for you in 2019. He has plans for you. Man, this church house ought to be filled every service. Well, I can't. You can't or you won't. We need to see souls saved. We're not going to get souls saved unless we bring them in. You know, it would tickle me to death next Sunday to come in here and see all of you have to sit outside in the parking lot because I've got a church house filled up with sinners. If things go all right, we're going back to Indiana to preach revival again this year. And this year, I'm going to get to go to the Pacific Garden Mission in downtown Chicago and get to preach to a few hundred people who need to hear about Jesus. Amen. I'm already, I just get goosebumps. Last time we was there, we went in there. There must have been 250 sitting in. They feed up to 1,500 every meal. And that was just in the men's group. That wasn't men and women. That was just in the men's group. Boy, I'd love to come to Charlestown Baptist Church and be able to preach the gospel to people who needed to hear of the grace of God. What a privilege that would be. What a privilege that would be. But you know, I can't do it if I won't go. You know, I can't do it if I've got sin in my life. Sin in my own heart that puts everybody else in jeopardy. Sin that keeps God from doing to me what he wants to do. I can't do it if I'm relying on me. See, that was what Jonah's problem was. Jonah was dependent on Jonah. hearts that are dependent on God. I counted on Adam. I counted on Cain. I counted on Jonah, but he was the same. I counted on Judas, but he proved untrue. So go tell the world, Paul, I'm counting on you. You know, God's got a great hall of disappointments. People that have let him down. But over in chapter 3, the word came to Jonah the second time. Amen. Don't worry about where you are and where you've been. Let's worry about where you're going and where God wants to get you to. Amen. He's got a plan for you in 2019. He's got a work for you to do. He's got a thing that he's got specific for you. I don't know what it is, but praise God, if you'll just ask him, if you'll just seek him, he'll show you exactly what it is. He wants to save you if you're not saved. He wants you to be a part of his family. He wants to minister through you if you're saved, and you'll allow him. He tells us to go into all the world and tell them about Jesus. But the thing of it is this morning, we got to move past our lethargic, sleeping state and get excited about getting involved. You know how far it was to get back to Nineveh? It was 500 miles from where he started from. But he went 2,000 miles, started 2,000 miles the opposite direction. I don't know how long it took him when he got back, when he hit dry land again. I don't know how long it took him to walk to Nineveh. But praise God, when God turned his situation around, when that fish vomited him out on the dry land again, Jonah hit the road of running. Amen. Because God spoke unto him the second time. Is God speaking to your heart this morning about something? Is God showing you where you need to be? What you need to be doing? Has God told you what your sin is doing to you? It's rendering you ineffective as a Christian. What it's doing to others is discouraging and disappointing others around you. It's keeping you from a right relationship with God. He's got a plan. I thought I'd preach all 3 points this morning, but we just parked here because God said so. We need to get past ourselves. We need to get past this place where we've hidden ourselves. And in 2019, say, Lord, it's a new year. Say, this Sunday morning, it's a new day. And God, whatever it is you want me to do, wherever it is you want me to go, I want to be there. As we stand to our feet,